finger with his thumb and grinned without amusement. Whoever tried that would be stuck, squealing like a pig. They were going away, back to the Tower Rock. He could hear feet moving, and then someone sniggered. There came again that high, bird-like cry that swept along the line. So some were still watching for him. But some? There was a long, breathless silence. Ralph found that he had bark in his mouth from the gnawed spear. He stood and peered upwards to the castle rock. As he did so, he heard Jack's voice from the top. "Heave! Heave! Heave!" The red rock that he could see at the top of the cliff vanished like a curtain, and he could see figures in blue sky. A moment later, the earth jolted. There was a rushing sound in the air, and the top of the thicket was cuffed as with a gigantic hand. The rock bounded on, thumping and smashing toward the beach, while a shower of broken twigs and leaves fell on him. Beyond the thicket, the tribe was cheering. Silence again. Ralph put his fingers in his mouth and bit them. There was only one other rock up there that they might conceivably move, but that was half as big as a cottage, big as a car, a tank. He visualized its probable progress with agonizing clearness, that one would start slowly, drop from ledge to ledge, trundle across the neck like an outsized steamroller. "Heave! Heave! Heave!" Ralph put down his spear, then picked it up again. He pushed his hair back irritably, took two hasty steps across the little space, and then came back. He stood looking at the broken ends of branches. Still silence. He caught sight of the rise and fall of his diaphragm and was surprised to see how quickly he was breathing. Just left his center, his heartbeats were visible. He put the spear down again. "Heave! Heave! Heave!" A shrill, prolonged cheer. Something boomed up on the red rock. Then the earth